everybody. Welcome to Real Life Sci-Fi with Wade and Willie. I'm Wade.
I'm Willie.
This is a podcast about the paranormal and contemporary mythology. Join us on patreon.com/reallifesci-fi for access to 2 bonus episodes a week, video feeds, and more. reallifesci-fi.show for all of our links and stuff. I went to therapy today for the first time ever. And the guy was like, yeah, I guess because they're making people wear masks and stuff. And the guy was like, it's in the water now. It's like in the water. COVID is in the water supply. But it's not that bad. It's like a cold or something. Anyway.
Oh, boy.
Watch out. Let's welcome aboard the SSRLSF. It's our good friend, Sevan Nigerian.
Hello.
So we need to talk about Mars. Whitest kids. Mars. It's just called Mars.
It's just called Mars.
But it's the Whitest Kids movie that you directed and your company animated and produced. It was at Tribeca.
Yeah, that was fun. We had like a red carpet event and there was like press there and we had like Getty images to brag about now.
Yeah, I know. That's cool. Did you meet who's the Italian mobster that runs it?
Oh,
Francis Ford Coppola?
The Italian mobster. De Niro?
Yeah, De Niro.
Wait, De Niro runs Tribeca? I didn't know that.
He started it, yeah.
Oh.
There was like this big De Niro con thing that happened after we left, but I didn't stick around past the screenings.
I forgot De Niro's name. That's how my day's going.
Yeah, De Niro con. I did run into Silvio from Sopranos.
Nice.
Which one was Silvio? Is that Van Sant?
No, it's
the gray one, the one with the like gray swooshes on the side of his head. Hey, Tony. Hey, that could be any of them. Yeah,
no, that's not. No, it's the other guy. It's the guy with the big lips and the sad face, the droopy lips.
Isn't that the Van Sant guy? He's like a guitar player, right?
Maybe. I think he was there with his band or something.
Bruce Springsteen. That's what he played for. He played with Bruce Springsteen.
I thought that he died.
Oh,
he didn't die.
No, he's alive.
That's why people freak out when they saw him.
Yeah, no, he's like more than Sopranos. He's like,
yeah, yeah.
He was like a weird stunt cast for Sopranos.
Yeah, I ran into him.
That's cool. Was he cool? Did you talk to him?
No, I'm not. I don't do that stuff.
I know. Me neither.
Oh, I don't get high on celebrity.
I don't either, but I just mean like if you're in the elevator or something, like what's up, man? And then
I've done that before, but you
form like a friendship, and it's weird. Now you're just friends with this guy who used to play with Springsteen.
Now that we're friends, do you mind taking a picture of me? And he's not even in it. Hey, man, he took this picture of me.
Yeah, I don't like any of that stuff, so I just don't do it.
I just whisper and
side eye and whisper to people around me. Hey, you know who that is?
Yeah,
that's it. That's all I do.
I usually do like a knowing like nod or hello. Hey, what's up? You know, just like to acknowledge, but try not to. But then I always try. I almost geek out then all after that.
And somebody sent me this Mars cap. They knitted it.
What does that say? GFYDL?
It's an acronym for go fuck yourself, doll liquor. It's just the thing. It's something that the fans say to each other.
Well, it's in the movie, right?
It's a fan greeting. But the fans don't know it. So if any fans are watching, we're not going to spoil that part for you. But
oh, okay. So I didn't realize that was like, so that's fan service? That's why it's in the movie?
Yeah. No. It was actually written in the movie. It was written and then referred to by the guys a bunch of times. We're talking about the name doll liquor. Where the words doll liquor comes from.
Yeah.
They wrote it like 12 years ago. So they've just been calling their fans doll liquor for a very long time.
And they never knew until
they
now.
They don't know. They've never read the script. Yeah. They haven't seen the movie yet. So.
Well, but I just assumed they did punch ups on the script in the last 12 years. You know, I didn't know.
Yeah. They just call each other doll liquors and
wow,
it's fun.
That's
it's
funny, fun. Dude.
I love
that's
it.
Really
and
funny.
I think it's if you say doll liquor, you're supposed to say go fuck yourself. Or else you're not a true initiate.
We've spoiled it for all of the Whitest Kids we spoiled it for the Whitest Kids fans. Because
if you want to infiltrate the fans, we didn't spoil it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, I've been a fan for a long time.
Go fuck yourself. Right? Right? I did it right, right?
All right. Let's do the Wow Scale, huh?
Wow Scale.
Well, the Wow Scale stands for Wade or Willie. It's a 5-question quiz. At the end of the quiz, I'll give you a score anywhere between 0 and 5. If you're more of a 0, you're more of a Wade. If you're more of a 5, you're more of a Willie. Are you ready to be Wade on the Wow Scale?
Yeah.
All right. First question, three-parter. Do you believe in aliens? If so, have they visited Earth? If so, have they visited Earth in the last 300 years?
Yes, believe in aliens. No, they haven't visited Earth.
You think UAPs are military or?
Well, my only caveat is that I'm starting to become more of a simulationist, so I don't even think aliens even matter.
Just dude, I don't think program. Anything matters. I'm like, I'm becoming like agnostic to caring.
If you are turning into a simulation theorist or whatever, simulationist, whatever, most paranormal things can be real. So like, is there a way to crack the simulation by following those things?
But why would those be real? Okay. I mean, I don't want to get into this, but like if it's a simulation and they're just like fucking with us, then why would those things be real? You're saying that the aliens infiltrated a simulation and they're flying around in a simulation. Is that what you're saying?
No. I'm saying on the larger scheme of things, aliens are like the small scheme, like the small fry.
I know.
If we're in a simulation, there's way more crazy problems that we are. In my head anyway, to have to contend with questions I want answers for.
See, what throws me off is if there's anything to simulation theory and somebody doesn't believe in a ghost and they see a ghost, is this something that only they see? And so like, or is it everyone around sees it? So, you know what I mean? So like, to me, it's like, maybe if you believe in something, it allows the code to.
Like you're manifesting it because you believe it.
Yeah, yeah. Simulation manifesting. That's
why I believe in the simulation, because I don't believe in manifesting. And the only reason that it could be is if it is a simulate, right? I mean, like that's why the secret works for everybody. Question two, ghosts.
Oh shit. In a simulation world. Yes.
So this is interesting because now we have this layer of all of your answers are coming from simulation.
Yeah, if we're in a simulation, absolutely. But I haven't seen one.
Right. You don't have any ghost stories or anything.
No. I hear a lot of ghost stories, but people believe them, so I don't know.
Have either of you guys played with a Ouija board?
Sure. I had one for a while.
Have you ever experienced anything paranormal or weird? Yeah, me neither.
No.
Like that. I got my eyes wide open. I want the world to fall apart in a weird, unscientific way.
Dude, me and you, man. Why have we never talked about this? We got the same fucking viewpoints on this shit. Yeah, when I did a Ouija board, it was like, it was nonsense. It was the whole thing of like, I think you're moving it. I think you are. And then the letters that it spelled was just gibberish. It was nothing. And so we were like, well, this sucks.
Yeah.
Bigfoot.
Bigfoot. No.
Not even in a simulation, Bigfoot can't.
There's just not enough. I don't there's less evidence for Bigfoot than there are for ghosts.
Illuminati. Do you believe in the Illuminati?
Yes.
What do you think they are? It's a weird question because I say Illuminati, but then I'm also like, I don't mean like literally.
What is an Illuminati?
Yeah, I guess.
I think they were a very powerful force in the past, but I don't think they are that much anymore. I think there's other groups that are more powerful than them that push buttons and pull levers. But I think they have offshoots, and I think that was just the original name. But like how the Masons used to be really powerful, but now like they're whatever.
Right. The same, like what are the bankers, you know?
Yeah, the Rockefellers or
whatever the bankers are, that's the new power.
Yeah, I think it exists, but it's like it's not what we think anymore. I think we attribute too much power to it.
This will be interesting. The multiverse. Do you believe in the multiverse?
Yeah.
How do you rectify that with
the simulationist? So this could be a simulation, that could be a parallel simulation next to us. Yeah, it can happen.
Right. So in the world of simulation meeting code, the parallel universes would just be every yes and no combination, right? So like they could all exist on the same layer.
Rick and Morty pretty much illustrated it the best, right? They just went into all the simulations. Each world that they created a simulation of their own, and then they kept creating further and further down.
Yeah. Did you watch Dark Matter? You watch Dark Matter?
Well, I haven't seen that.
They got it going on. I just watched this Synchronicity movie. It's real bad, from 2016. I just watched that last night. They're talking about it. I don't believe in any of these things.
Whoa, really?
I don't believe in the multiverse.
Except simulation.
Yeah, I believe in simulation. And I guess I don't believe in the multiverse.
I think the multiverse makes the most sense.
I would say like a 3.5.
I think I am climbing in my scale.
I think we all are. You know, as we get older, we all become a little bit more of a willy.
Not that I was wise when I was young. I'm just older than everyone else.
Time to Willy up.
All right, Willy, hit us with the topic.
Tonight on Real Life Sci-Fi, Atlantis. New information. Sevan is back. Last time he was on, we talked about Atlantis. He's here to talk about this new information. If you didn't believe in the Atlantean civilization before, maybe you will now. Let's get into this new information and what it means tonight on Real Life Sci-Fi.
What is the new information?
Sure, there's a documentary that's out there. It's called
The Atlantis Puzzle.
I saw it on Prime. It's pretty cheap. It's half price on Prime, I think. But Sevan watched this thing too, and he's back because he watched it and wants to talk about it. But there is this independent researcher who's pretty intelligent. His name is George Serenitis. He basically looked at the two documents, because the only information we have of Atlantis is from Plato. And he was looking at Critias and Timaeus. That's it.
Yeah.
I knew it rhymed like some lame cat.
The two books he wrote, yeah. Plato.
That's the only information we have on the Atlanteans, basically. And he's saying that, well, they kind of translated a bunch of stuff wrong. So he spent a couple years retranslating both books to find out what Plato was really saying.
Yeah. I think that's a huge development. He retranslated Plato's works to find out what he really meant by what he said about Atlantis and where it was. So one of the biggest revelations is there's two words that they've retranslated that changes the whole theory. And one of those words is ocean. The way they translated it to ocean used to be thought of as that it existed east of the Atlantic Ocean. That's why they named it Atlantis or whatever. That's why it was named Atlantis. The new translation he's claiming is that it just means body of water. Or whatever. So you can almost say that it was to the east of any body of water in Europe, Africa area.
A lot of people
that doesn't sound helpful. That sounds less helpful.
But everyone's looking for Atlantis in the Atlantic Ocean, and it's not there.
Well,
so it's pretty cool.
So other amateur archaeologists are theorizing that that proves even more that the last episode I was on, when we talked about that big Eye of Africa structure. Do you remember that, Wade?
No.
Remember, there's this big, like, concentric rings of mountains and hills that exactly describes how the capital city of Atlantis was laid out.
Okay.
They didn't even know about it. It's in the middle of the deepest desert in Africa, on the west side of Africa. They never even found it till some astronauts were floating over the earth and I'm like, what the fuck is this thing? Looks like an eye. It's the first time we've seen it in modern history.
Right. Did I make a joke about Hunger Games? Because it just looks like Hunger Games.
Yeah, you did.
Did I? Yeah, you did make the Hunger Games
joke. I keep calling it the Rishat structure, and they kept saying Rishat, but Rishat, one of those two.
Yeah, Rishat structure. But that's nothing new. That's what we talked about last time. That's what we convinced us. Like, I think I walked away that episode thinking, like, this is, like, the most convincing evidence to show that Atlantis might have existed. And some of the holes I was poking into it back then, I feel like are not really valid now because I'm, like, because the way that the documentary, by the way, is really not produced well. It's like, again, does the thing that I hate about documentaries is the director puts himself in the documentary.
The director is the main character.
He's like the narrator, main character. He does that thing where he like walks towards the camera and says a thing, and then it cuts to another interview.
Every shot is overexposed and the color balance is off.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. And the graphics are super minimal and they keep cutting back to the same graphics over and over and over again. And it's like really hard to understand.
But is he American?
I think he is. Richard Kelly, so is that his name?
I mean, he was wearing a plain collared shirt with like jeans. So it doesn't, like, he must look be American.
British. I was like, yeah, it seems like that's like a British kind of documentary thing.
It
right?
does.
Like,
I mean, it's kind of on the level of if there was no money in Ancient Apocalypse, that documentary. We talked about that. Or Aaron was a guest to talk about that one with Graham
Hancock. Yeah, I love Frank that. Hancock. Love that.
It's on the vein of that, actually. It's like, in fact, it's funny because the last time I talked about Atlantis on this show, I had gone to Contact in the Desert and seen a bunch of people talking about Atlantis and like ancient cities and burial grounds and stuff like that. And Göbekli Tepe.
Yeah.
And all that stuff. So, I feel like I have a little bit more of an idea of like what's going on with Atlantis and just like ancient civilizations and how it works. And so another thing that they mistranslated or they retranslated was the word sunk.
Yes.
And instead of sunk, it could have been buried.
They said covered. That the story was it sunk in a day.
It seems pretty convenient.
And now they're saying the two sunken. All right, or it's covered.
The two words that they retranslated were ocean and sunk. It's a little convenient.
But I mean, this documentary claims that everybody was following George's work to use the Rashot structure. But I don't know. People found it in different ways. But what I like about it is they found the Rashot structure from going through Plato's work, not from looking around for it, you know, and followed his directions a little more. The retranslation led them to this, and it's pretty amazing. So Africa used to be really green and used to have a lot of waterways, and basically the west side of Africa was almost its own continent, all these rivers and extra seas in the middle, and you know, even today in some of those areas there's still crocodiles in the middle of the desert because the waterways came all the way from where crocodiles come from.
Yeah, they're saying like the monsoon season in Africa usually stays in the center of Africa. Right now it is. Back in the day, 10,000 years ago, that monsoon season was way further north. So all the rain dropped on the Sahara Desert before it was the Sahara Desert. So everything there was lush and full of rivers, and a lot of it spilled out into the Mediterranean. Imagine like way more water in the Sahara Desert filling up all these spaces. And last time we talked about how it looks like a lot, all these rivers had like trickled down, all the geographic patterns that you could see that used to have a ton of water, like big mudslides kind of things.
Mm-hmm.
So imagine just way more water, a lot of waterways, and then a nation that's so far advanced that they command that waterway and everybody's afraid of them, and they war against everybody, and their empire spreads slowly because they command the waterways.
So hang on, that's what I wanted to ask. What is the obsession with Atlantis? Like, it's because they were more advanced than everybody?
Well, they were just an empire that was growing, just like the Persian Empire. They were growing and threatening their neighbors. And because they had an organization of rivers, they became like a kind of a superpower, like how the Sumerians were really highly feared because they're the only ones with boats.
You know how this is the worst parallel you'll ever hear. You know, Boba Fett was really one of the most loved characters after Empire Strikes Back, but he fucking didn't do anything in it.
Yeah, just because he was the coolest toy.
So Plato overheard this story from his uncle when he was talking to some high priests about Atlantis. And so here he is writing these books, and he kind of mentions Atlantis. And then within these two books, like, holy shit, man, he's talking about an ancient civilization that is more advanced than they were at the time. He talked about the walls using tons of different metals and covered in copper and all kinds of stuff. And the biggest problem with anything that he said in those books is there's no evidence of anything. They haven't found Atlantis. They haven't found big boats anywhere. They haven't found any evidence to support an ancient civilization being technologically advanced and having this control of the waterways. And so now they're starting to find stuff. The problem with a boat is you make a boat out of wood, it won't last 1,000 years. It'll deteriorate.
Unless it's covered in mud.
They did find one. Yeah, that's the whole thing. They found this boat.
Oh, to preserve it? I thought they were covering their boats in mud. I was like, well, what does it matter if it lasts 1,000 years? I forgot you were talking about archaeology.
And, you know, sci-fi and fantasy really took over our mythology of Atlantis. And so people in their own minds can go off the charts as to
what. Well, but okay, I guess my whole thing is like, what is the obsession with it though? Like, why are people so fixated on Atlantis? Because like, we know that societies come and go, right? But is it just that it was such a big one that there should be more evidence of it? And that's why people were curious about it.
I think it's a cautionary tale. Or the people that believe that they were creating like crystals and stuff and like they went too far. It's kind of an analogy to like inventing the atomic bomb and like destroying ourselves. I think that's why it kind of resonates with people.
Okay.
A lot of people were searching for this discovery because it rewrites everyone's history books.
It's just so long ago though that it's like ancient history. So it's kind of like, yeah, okay. You know what I mean? I just don't understand the significance of it.
This is the part of the show that you ask the question, so what? Who cares? In a different way that you normally do.
I guess, but it is just curious that people are so into this. I don't know.
I mean,
it's just
part of the Marvel universe now, right?
Yeah, yeah. And it's also part of the DC universe because...
What is it in Marvel?
Is it Aquaman Marvel?
No, he's DC, but oh, okay. Marvel also has
I don't care.
A main character that hasn't been in the movies yet that He's in like the old comics and stuff from Atlantis. They're the ones that found Captain America frozen in the water.
Okay.
Yes.
So what are you saying that like the documentary reaffirms the Africa,
the Eye of Africa? Yeah, I think it reaffirms that that's the location because it's pretty convenient. It looks like it should be there, but it also kind of argues the Green Sahara theory is pretty compelling, and I'd like to read more about that.
Hang on. We started talking about it being buried, and I feel like maybe we didn't get to why that was significant. I mean, I know it's significant because now it's on land or anything, but like, how do you bury something in a day?
Oh, well, it seems crazy to get swallowed by water in a day. So that's not even possible
for
physically.
For a continent,
so,
yeah.
For a whole continent to be underwater in a day. That's not possible. It's just impossible to do. But it makes more sense to have been covered with, like, say a tsunami comes in and it brings all the dirt and refuse and things from the other cities over and all the trees and everything, and they're just deposits on top of your city that you could say was covered by water and, you know, covered over by dirt and everything, basically destroyed.
How close to the ocean is that
structure?
Well, a lot of
it's
people
it's actually
say
not that close. It's right in the middle of Africa.
Is it really?
In the middle of the west side, but there were other seas back then. They had the rivers, the waterways.
Right. The thing is, it was said to have, I know the last episode, Willie was describing how in the capital city, there was like a salt spring and also a freshwater spring or something like that. And I think that just suggests that that there was salt water coming up to the city walls, but then there was fresh water all around it. Like a bunch of rivers kind of emptied into this area that was emptying into the Mediterranean Sea at the time when the rivers were higher. So I think it had access to the ocean, but the tsunamis didn't come from the ocean. The tsunamis might have come from the rivers that were inside the rings.
That can happen?
Yeah, it can happen because, I mean, this is another thing I didn't know about much before, but now I understand 13,000 years ago, there was an event called the Younger Dryas, and that we kind of covered what's his name?
Yeah, with the Graham Hancock
stuff. And so that is also something that a lot of archaeologists don't agree on. I think a lot of amateur ones are saying it makes sense and it's obvious, but they're not getting any kind of traction in the archaeology world. But I kind of understand it as like that was just like a comet or a solar flare or something that hit the earth, and it was like kind of created just a lot of mayhem at the time, and like the only real civilization on earth was Atlantis, and so Atlantis was just like rocked back and forth, and all the tsunamis that around their rivers and lakes and everything that was surrounding them destroyed a lot of their capital city. And so they've told that story over millennia, and Egypt, who's probably just a colony of Atlantis just across the way, has the only records of what happened because it's part of their past, part of their ancestors' past.
Have people like done digs on this Rakat structure? Why not?
It really is in the middle of the desert. So there's no airport there. You have to drive hundreds of miles of desert sand. And, you know, Jimmy Corsetti, the guy from Bright Insight. Oh, I'm getting mixed up. There was another guy who tried to go to the Rashat structure. And to get to it, you have to hire someone who knows how to drive there. So they're driving the desert. And their footage, they're driving through people fighting with guns. There was a big civil war going on. And so, like, there's so much lawlessness. People will just, you know, hold you up a gunpoint and take your shit.
Right.
If you get there, you don't have any resources to do any work because you can't fly a helicopter for like 300 miles and you can't land a plane in the desert. So you kind of fucked. You have to drive in.
They've done some tests though. They've done like, I forgot what they said in the documentary.
There's some scientists went out there in the 70s and then this guy, George,
but then this guy brought a team out there and surveyed it. So it was something I was complaining about last time actually, because on the last documentary, they surveyed it using Google Maps. And I was like, talking about how inaccurate that was. And so like this documentary, they actually went out there with equipment and surveyed it.
What did they find? Anything?
They found freshwater fossils in the area.
Really?
And they did find obsidian tools. And
what?
They found some remains of some structures too. But they were smaller structures than they were hoping for, I think. And then they go on to explain away a lot of the things that they're like, well, the description says this and this, and this could have been the reason why that's not accurate anymore. And like they explain a lot of the explanations that don't line up with this place. to like fit their theory, I think, in a little way, in a small way.
So case closed, right? I mean, it sounds...
No, because I think the description was like specifically like lining the walls with copper and silver metals, yeah, or whatever, or like all that stuff. There's no evidence of that kind of metal work there at all.
And so here's the crazy thing. This is so old that, like, you know, you could see a foundation for a building and not really know what it looked like or whatever. But this is what happened to the pyramids, is that they've had civilizations on top of civilizations move in, and then they don't know what these things are. People just start taking the shit for themselves. So
they bury it and build on top. That happens a lot.
Yeah. A lot of ancient civilizations, these sacred sites might have some kind of energy there, so they build their sacred site on top of it. That happens a lot. But like most of the limestone that covered the pyramids, that shit just got mined. They treated it like a quarry and just built other stuff with it. And so the whole outer casing stuff that fell off is I'm sure if there was copper or silver, this place is probably flooded for hundreds of years. It sounds like, and people might have come in and just taken everything.
I mean, the documentary really downplayed like the civilization being so advanced too, because they're like, it really couldn't have been that advanced back then. What the Egyptians were assuming, and when they flourished their writings about it, they've made it seem like they were way more advanced than they actually were. But they at that time, they probably had like big huts, and like where they were like had a big army of people with bow and arrows and boats, you know, and like something simpler. That's why you don't see the remnants of an advanced civilization there, even though nobody's dug anything.
Yeah.
I think if you just dig, like, I just imagine like a couple miles of just dust sitting on top of the site.
Picture how much sand was covering the Sphinx. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, just that much. Just go that deep.
Yeah. I think it's no water to be found, so it's just kind of filled up with dust. And all that stuff came from the ocean. That used to be an ocean. So it was like, now it's just dust.
And they also made the comparison to, like, you know, Mongolia. It's like the Mongoloids were a huge civilization, and they were nomadic, you know. Sure, they had
Mongoloids.
Mongols.
Mongols.
Mongols. Mongoloid Mongols. Is something different.
Mongoloid something else.
When I heard Mongols, I picture the Mongols, the California motorcycle gang. So I'm like, oh, it's not Mongols.
Anyway, what were you saying about the Mongols?
So they, you know, they're saying that, like, yeah, they might have been a big advanced society, but they conquered so many places. Maybe they were nomadic also in a way that they were warriors that could take over places and keep moving. Because there is a history of the Atlanteans taking over a lot of civilizations. So here's one other weird thing, cool thing that they pointed out, was that there's no evidence of the boats from the area, you know, and there's no evidence of them trading and being seafaring civilizations, but they're finding that now. Like, they're finding wheat that doesn't have any ancestors in that area that they used to eat with and stuff. So they're like proving that these guys are moving around through water and trading.
It sounds like this is it.
Do you believe in Atlantis at all? Wait, I know.
I got no reason not to. I mean, listen, I've never thought of it. I've never once been like, what's up with Atlantis? Like, I don't, it's just like not something. I think, like, growing up, I just thought it was like a completely fictitious place, right? And then, I don't know, you hear more and more about it. I'm open to it being a real place.
And also, you know, they don't teach all these things about it. So you've probably seen more mythological things than the descriptions of, you know, it was about 40 kilometers across the capital city. It was like the capital city was one of 10 kingdoms in that area. So, like, and they had a navy of like 1,200 ships. Like 10,000 years ago,
million man army or something.
You guys mentioned a boat covered in mud. What did they find one, or are you talking about some other boat?
They found a boat, a small boat, ancient boat that was in the middle of the Sahara, just like buried under a bunch of mud. So, or like clay that actually preserved it because it prevented oxygen from getting to it, so it didn't disintegrate. And so it proves that. Why would there be a boat in the middle of a desert?
Well, you know, you put it on your trailer and you go back to the suburbs until you're ready to go to the lake again.
When are we going back to the ocean, Dad?
I mean, but yeah, this all jives with like the pyramids having running water and stuff like that, right? I mean,
yeah,
it's all just curiosity, I guess. It's all just like, what a different world that would have been.
I think science fiction has blown this whole thing out of proportion.
Sure.
It really has, because like it even started back in the 60s when, or like the 50s when sci-fi novels were being written. It's just like a lot of them just popped up all of a sudden and just became a fascination. So
lasers.
I think beyond that, it's just, it is kind of just a boring story of how human, there was a civilization, the hunter-gatherer traded and like farmed. They did farm, actually. They farmed and traded.
Irrigation and
well before, and that was destroyed in a tragic one-night accident. But like it aligns with the biblical story of Noah and the flood and stuff like that. So for me growing up, I was like fascinated by the flood stories because it's like a whole other world with different like physics. Back then,
yeah,
before the flood,
yeah,
there was like in my mind growing up, there's like different physics and different laws of like nature and stuff. So to me, that's fascinating because that's where the gods lived, you know, that's where the dinosaurs lived, and that's where you know, magic probably happened, you know, like that in a good imagination. And I think that's why it captured mine. But I think for a lot of people, an underwater kingdom is kind of cool. It's a cool idea.
I know. And it's kind of disappointing now that it's not underwater at all. It's
just it never was underwater. Africa.
Yeah. Right. It never was. So it's like completely misbuilt.
It just got covered in mud. Like like Pompeii almost.
I think that's why I'm asking that question, because it takes out all of the kind of like magic. Now it's just a place, you know, now it's just an old place.
But yeah, I don't know how far so advanced they were too. I think the advancement they're talking about is that they were farmers versus everybody else not being farmers.
Right.
Yeah, I believed in it before, but I believe in it more now. And I would like them to get a bunch of money to go fucking look at this place, because they might find some cool shit. And to know that this area had water back then, to me, it's all about the mystery of the pyramids. If you could prove that there was running water and the Nile was right there, which I think it was. And I mean, like, it just kind of redefines what that was, because
you're hoping that it would then prove completely renewable energy and stuff like that, right? Like, that's what you want. You want to live in Tesla's world.
There's no new info for that stuff, though.
No, but I know. If they could prove the water. Yeah, Wade's right. If they could prove the water in that area, it could lead to them finding the healing cymatics of the pyramids or whatever. You know what I mean? Like,
Cymatics.
So the coolest thing about this documentary, what they did was, this guy who retranslated everything basically said, hey, the second book that Plato wrote just ends mid-sentence.
Yeah.
So people just thought that, you know, maybe, I don't know, something happened. He didn't finish the book.
Writer's block happens to all of us, man.
And they're trying to say that, like, well, you know what? Plato would only write something that he would want you to investigate. And so it kind of like, they're saying it calls you to go to the Odyssey. Basically, that was an on purpose thing to make you look at why he did that.
Yeah, he wrote the books to initiate people into his thinking. So they become initiates when they crack the code to his writings. And his writings basically teach you to be aware of the story circle.
It does.
to like, basically, it's a power. It's a story of power corrupting and having checks and balances on your rulers, your leaders.
Yeah, that too. Yeah. But like, that's how unsustainable, like, it is to have an army, basically.
Yeah, but like the people who come into power never care about that, because they're the ones in power. They don't care. America's dead, man. It's done.
This is the birth of democracy we're talking about. Plato was talking about the birth of democracy.
Well, no, but I'm just saying, the lessons that he's trying to teach, not one civilization has followed
from it. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, he would be rolling in his grave if he saw the outcome of democracy.
What the guy did was he looked at every single like English translation and every Greek translation, modern versions of those books out there, and like compared and contrasted, and there was like, hold on, there's like a lot of different translations. Like there were kind of a spectrum of translations. And so he's like, that tells me that the original text was probably mistranslated or untranslatable at the time, or not translated with the right context of the time period, because words changed meanings over time. And sometimes one word for a lot of things, or a lot of words for one thing, and vice versa. Sometimes they change. So
every hunter of Atlantis had to go through the Pillars of Hercules, and he's like, well, this this thing was different within different writings.
Yeah. So yeah, that's another thing that we didn't talk about at all is the Pillars of Hercules. I think the translation part is interesting because the Jehovah's Witnesses did the exact same thing. They took like the modern translations of some of those Bibles, like the Hebrew translation of the Greek scriptures, which is a weird way to go, and like other things, just to like make their own scripture, just to like well, this one doesn't talk about
solidify their beliefs
Jesus being God, so there must be a
you can nudge it. Using the words, you could nudge it a little bit to what you
like
want.
This word that was used for God didn't actually mean God back then if you used it with this word, you know, unless you use it with the word the, it's not, they're not talking about Almighty God, you know, those kinds of distinctions that the Jehovah's Witnesses make. I think a lot of that stuff is, I was reminded about with this because I'm like, it's not talking about an ocean, it's talking about a pelagos, which is like an island full of, a sea full of islands, basically.
What do you call the...
That's usually translated as ocean or sea. So I think the general population just thought, oh, it should be somewhere in the Atlantic Ocean.
Is there a religion out there that is basically grammar Nazi'd?
Is that I think the Catholic... Aren't the Catholics?
Well, they changed the meanings of a lot of those stuff.
But it's up to them, is what I mean.
But and then the Pillars of Heracles. What is it? East of the Pillar of Heracles is where you'll find Atlantis or something like
that. Is the Pillars of Hercules an actual place?
Well, everyone has attributed it to the Strait of Gibraltar, which is like basically saying that like...
That's the popular opinion is that it's...
Yeah. I think it's like just two big mountains that you have to get out to into the open ocean. But now that we know that it's not the ocean and it doesn't have to be the Strait of Gibraltar, they've moved it. What did you think it was, Simon?
I always picture in Game of Thrones when you go to Pentos and you see the big guy like with his feet and his one foot is on one continent and the other foot is on the other continent. That's how I picture the Pillars of Heracles. But
I always pictured it as what is that?
Never-ending story.
Never-ending story. I always picture the Never-ending story with the two wings with the boobs statues.
Oh yeah, that's funny.
It's across there.
Well, but across history, a lot of places had their own Pillars of Heracles, and that was more of a euphemism or a metaphor for the gates between the inside world and the outside world. For instance, outside of Atlantis is Asia and Europe. So beyond the Pillars of Heracles, you'll find the outside world. Or vice versa, you'll find Atlantis beyond the pillars. And so there are a lot of places were attributed to that, like every little strait and every little sea, like the Black Sea emptying out to the Aegean Sea has a strait. And that was a couple of Pillars of Heracles is over there that were attributed to that. So it's kind of just like a metaphor for like you're inside or you're outside, like you're inside where it's safe, where the Navy is and we can protect you. And then outside there in the vast ocean of chaos, we can't protect you.
Right, which means it's completely worthless unless you are the same as the guy writing it and know exactly what he's talking about, right? I mean,
right.
Yeah.
So that it just gives you the opportunity as a person that wants to find Atlantis to put the Pillars of Heracles anywhere you want, which is pretty convenient for this documentary. And then I feel like a lot of people don't study the Green Sahara stuff. I don't know much about it, but I kind of want to look into it. I feel like the Green Sahara thing is not an accepted theory at all, right?
Fringe theorists bringing up that, like the Younger Dryas and those floods definitely happened, but mainstream archaeology does not think that there was any sort of advanced societies back then. And so that's the whole thing, is when you try to bring up something, no one's going to even listen to anything. And so all this stuff is like concrete proof that this was Atlantis, and mainstream archaeology is still probably not even batting an eye at it.
Yeah.
Just go look at it. Well, who's going to pay for it? Who's going to pay for
Is this, does this documentary, does it feel more like a Gaia TV thing?
Yeah.
Really?
I mean, personally,
a what?
Gaia TV, just like Fringe. Like I believe it, but I just don't think most people do. Most people will. And like
it's on Prime. So, I mean, I guess they just have good distributors for it.
Can't you put anything on Prime? Isn't Prime? It's Amazon. You can self-publish a documentary on Amazon, right?
I don't know.
Yeah. Well, yeah. You can't. They basically, after the pandemic, things changed, but it used to be very easy for anybody. Now you have to kind of go through some loopholes, but yeah, you can put your own movie on there, whatever, but you probably won't make any money and you lose distribution because it's out there, but you publish something. But
Go back to the beginning. Plato was hanging out and he overheard his father speaking.
He's like
this?
Uncle Solon. He was talking to some high priests of Egypt. And these high priests of Egypt were telling him about Atlantis. And so he just remembered, recorded all this information.
And told Plato. And Plato wrote it down in his two books that were meant to teach his initiates how to think like him. And they're written in a way where it's kind of just like a trick on you. So I don't know how.
How do you mean?
Like we were talking about before.
Oh, just ambiguously,
like,
you mean?
Yeah, it's like meant to, like it's just like meant to make you think a humanitarian, basically.
Yeah, if it doesn't make you think, then you shouldn't be in his school.
Right. That's another thing is like it's written on the school there that if you don't understand geometry, then get the fuck out or something like that, right?
So honestly, he didn't even really care if it existed. He was just using it as a story.
I think he was using it as an allegory of how when you have a democracy or if you have a democracy, the folly of creating a state full of warriors.
That and like when he was a kid, he lived through one of the worst civil wars between Athens and Sparta. And you know, Plato even jumped in the military for a little bit.
Sparta won.
The Greeks have had their history erased and forgotten a couple times.
Well, that's right.
And so
that was weird to me. So they had to reinvent language once or twice before.
Yeah.
And they reinvent the same language.
They were beaten so bad that there's no record. So the high priests of Egypt talking to Solon about the Greek history and the Atlantean history was basically like, you know, we keep all these records for a reason. You guys don't know shit.
The Greeks have a longer history, but they don't have a record of it because they've just been fucked over so many times. And then the Egyptians are like, you guys don't even know your own fucking history. And that's where that's kind of how I interpret
it.
Yeah, I wonder
look why.
Look at this fucking column. This wall tells your whole history, you
step
idiot.
Step inside. Walk this way. You and me, babe. Hey, hey. Def Leppard was quoting the Egyptians. Sorry, it's a terrible fucking joke.
What why Greece, do you think? Because they were successful, so people just were gunning for them? They're like the patriots of...
It's interesting to see from the maps in the documentary, they show like, if you see like right in the center of Africa, and you see an empire spreading with like their graphics, like it's all turning, the ground is like turning red and stuff. Mm-hmm. You go across the Mediterranean Sea and all of a sudden there's the Greeks there. So you have to like start fighting the Greeks for their land because they have the best land there.
But Italy's right there.
Yeah, try to take over Italy. Yeah, they take over
part. Okay, so Italy,
a lot of the northern coasts of the Mediterranean, they had taken over and they war with them a bunch. And they got beat back eventually, but what ultimately destroyed them was this mythical flood thing. So, could have been that younger dry ass. I personally like a younger wet ass.
Yeah.
So it sounds like that's what it was anyway. Wet ass.
They're magical. I used to listen to the album Hysteria going to bed and just falling in love with my crushes.
I just think, is it almost like disappointing for this to kind of match up so well? Because isn't it almost better for it to be a legend and a kind of myth? And
I would rather them figure out how lame it was just so that they have to rewrite things. Because I feel like a lot of our history needs to be rewritten and re-modernized, basically. You know, like a lot of the stuff we came up with was from a modern era that is no longer modern.
Well, but how would you, if you found it, if this is it, like how are you going to rewrite history? You still don't know anything.
Well, if you found that civilization, I mean, you know, this documentary, though it's not great, it definitely is just in the right direction of like, we don't even think they had boats back then because we didn't find any. And then they find one.
But how does that ripple effect to us now and make us better in any way?
I would hope that maybe we would uncover all the warring that they did, just for us to take a look at our society and be like, you know, we, our country has been in war my entire life, and I just have not really, you know, I just forget about it. Like, oh yeah, we bombed somebody. I didn't know we were over there. We're constantly pushing boundaries and militaries all over the world.
I know. So you, I know, and I know you're not saying this, but it sounds like you're saying if we just discovered where Atlantis was, we would have world peace. No one gives a shit. And it's like,
I know, you're right. I know.
What was the South American, the people who just disappeared that no one, which one was that? There's like the structures are still there and stuff, and they all just like disappeared and no one. Am I making that up?
The
Aztecs did that?
And that was kind of a misnomer, but yeah, because they called them the Aztecs because there was another civilization. They never called themselves the Aztecs, but yes.
But that's probably the same thing, right? It's like they got buried or flooded or whatever, a combination of both, and then they just kind of went out, right? They didn't all die. They just went out and
walked away.
The thing is, moved
into an apartment in Egypt.
The problem with like the Aztecs
started diverting all the water because they could control the water and just fucked Egypt over. It just changed where the river went.
they just say that, oh, there was drought, but they never found the bodies. But
that's why I think it's just kind of like, well, and also, how would you find the bodies if you don't even know where the place is? Or are you talking about Aztecs?
The Aztecs, they're a bigger mystery of what happened to them, because I don't know. Within this documentary, they did find big pits of people that's from like a long time ago that supported it.
Yeah, they kept showing footage of that. I didn't know what that was from, because the whole documentary uses stock footage like crazy.
Yeah, so, and I'm like, what? They didn't attribute what war like, this was to.
They kept showing these skeletons like buried together, and I don't know what, they never said what it was from.
Do you really think that there were civilizations that we lost that had we not, we would be more technologically advanced right now? Or do you think that those technologies, whatever they were, a boat, we're just carried to a new place and we built on them forever, and now we have computers and shit? Or do you really think
we lost technology, right?
That's you do asking. You do think that? Seven, what do you think?
Well, okay, so we talked about this last time. Humanity has been around, evolved 400,000 years ago was the first human. So there's 400,000 years, and only what, 10,000 of that is history. So the rest of that other time could have easily, I've been a, like a huge human advancement. And I don't know how long it takes for the crust of the mantle of the earth to like recycle itself. But we also talked about that, where how everything kind of just kind of moves into the center of the earth and gets recycled eventually. So I think if it's, I'd have to look up if there are any numbers on this, but if there's enough time to do it, I feel like there's could have been a whole civilization.
Okay.
That
let me phrase it like this.
Buried into the magma of the earth at this point. Yeah.
Do you think, okay, well, let me ask you this then. Do you think that, and I know there's no, this is all just curiosity.
Speculation. Yeah,
speculation. Do you think any of these civilizations were more advanced than we are right now?
No.
We've been to space.
No, unless it proves true that the moon is hollow, which is a whole nother episode.
See, my thing is, I feel like when you look at the even just the bells of old cathedrals and stuff, I feel like a lot of, and sure, maybe I'm projecting, maybe I'm being skewed and indoctrinated by just weird esoteric and fringe things, but I think that there was ancient civilizations that were aware of the universe from the cymatic perspective. I really think the pyramids have cymatic healing properties. And so advanced in making us last longer and being more in tune with the universe. Yes. But does that mean technology to get to space? I think it could, you know,
Well, but here's the thing. Space is not the ultimate fucking end all be all of technology. Just because maybe they didn't go to space doesn't mean they weren't also really good at something.
But
you know?
In my mind, I could believe that some missing civilization may have gone to the stars.
What if they just took another path and they just created transporters? They didn't even have cars. They just the first thing they created was a transporter instead of a horse and buggy.
So I'm amazing.
If they did that. hang on. If they did that and they lost, they must be the dumbest people in the world. Because if you have transport technology and then you lose some kind of war,
it's just,
transport out, man. Oh, no, here comes the storm. All right, hey, well, let's transport.
There's this new guy. He's going to help us out. Come on in.
I think, Willie, if you really believe that, why haven't you devoted your life to the study of sound? And you could be a billionaire if you unlock some sort of cymatic thing.
I think you can anyway without unlocking it, because you just make it a sales tactic.
I've been trying to find cymatic devices and trying to figure out how to make them. And it's like a lot of them, you really have to have either old equipment or money.
They have them over here at that float tank place that Aaron went to.
Yeah.
They have that like machine that you put the headphones on. It's like this weird cymatic therapy thing.
Because I'm like tone generators and.
No, what are you talking? No, you're talking about using shit that's already invented. If it's already invented, then that's not the answer.
I am going back and starting to learn old school electricity. You know, I feel like it starts with magnetism and electricity.
Just a propeller in a river, because they were a river economy. So what, you don't think they just had electricity coming from the rivers?
I think that you could just grab energy out of the air from running water. I've seen a lot of people do that. I don't know how real it is, you know, like people sticking wires into a tree and then like getting a battery to work from or a little generator.
It can't be right. There's no way. There's got to be more to it than sticking wires into a tree, right? I mean, like, is that what they're doing? They're sticking wires into trees?
I mean, I'm just saying there's a bunch of different ways to take energy out of the fields around us. So, you know, I ground every day and we have copper wires in our gardens.
Okay. I mean, I don't want to turn you into the crazy weirdo, but it just seems like you're so into this, but like, do something.
We have copper in our garden too.
What's the point of that?
Electroculture.
If you have a coiled copper wire,
it can grab
electrons and stuff out of the air and put it into your garden. It like grabs the energy.
Because plants like electricity? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
No, listen,
I just wrap the stick with copper wire.
Why not?
Wire,
it can't it hurt. Would you do it? But yeah, I wish you would have done it with one and not the other. And then you could so how does it work?
Well,
have you noticed any results?
No, because it's hard because it's different. Like if you have just a bunch of the same plants, it also depends on where you plant it. So
it's not a real control.
There's too many variables. It's not a good control. Too many fucking variables. It sucks. Being a scientist is hard, and like Dr. Fauci's a hero.
He stitched Trump's ear like on stage. You didn't see him, Fauci?
Oh, God. I thought you were being serious. I was like, whoa, redemption story. Now what are the Republicans going to say about him?
He should wrap it up. Stitch his ear.
he's just there still. He still just hangs around Trump. I guess my mind isn't curious about these things in the way that yours guys's are. And that's why I'm always historically like, why does this matter? You know what I mean? I just don't have that. I just don't care. I hate any time period that I'm not living in. So I don't want to think about it, honestly.
So no Ren Faire for you?
I'm not into Ren Faires. I'm also allergic to horses. So it makes it tough.
I definitely know that I'm guilty of putting different ancient civilizations on a pedestal, you know, and I'm trying to get out of that. But I also want to see how they governed themselves, because we definitely need a better model.
But it must have been easier back then, because like they're just in the middle of West Africa, and like, yeah, maybe they're taking over some other places, but like it's not like now where it's just like, oh, the entire world is talking to each other. Like how are we ever going to get along?
That's and like
nuts.
Facebook groups getting infiltrated, just weird shit like that.
Yeah, well, that I think is kind of funny.
I guess it doesn't really matter if Atlantis existed in the way we thought it existed. The reason why I got into it wasn't because of the science fiction aspect of it.
Wait, you don't have to defend. I'm sorry. I'm not defending it.
I'm saying it seems like it's a glamorous thing and it shouldn't be.
I guess that's where I'm kind of coming from. Yeah.
And it's like, I kind of liked that ride. It was like, for me, it was like, if I read Plato, I think I'm just going to read it as not like a newspaper or a science article. I'm going to read it as a play or something, you know, or just like this is a Jesus parable or something.
Right.
You know,
right.
In that sense, we haven't learned from those writings because we're literally going to be in a civil war soon.
But individually, you can, right? I mean, like, or is that even possible? Like, as an individual, how would you apply any of that stuff? You know what I mean? It feels helpless.
This is the weird, like, pacifist thing. Is like, well, you know, if you want the world to be a better place, like, fix yourself. And I like that idea, but it still doesn't fix other things. You know? Oh, someone saw me and took me as an example and changed their life. You know, whatever. I'm like, yeah, shit's still happening. People are still getting ripped off. Like,
you know how you could take it, though? You could take it as like, well, fuck, if the ancient fucking Greeks couldn't figure it out, why would we? And it's liberating in a certain way to be like, it's all going to crumble. Let's just see. I don't know. That's liberating to me. But I'm also pretty fucked up.
I mean, also, this is pre-Rome, too. So, like, Rome also fell. I guess it's the same idea of just like history repeats itself. We always find ourselves back at the beginning. And it's a cautionary tale for today where AI is just going to bring us back to the beginning.
I know.
And we're all living in idiocracy right now.
Get ready.
I'm
I'm literally wearing Crocs right now. So I'm definitely in an idiocracy. Yeah. What else is there to do but masturbation network anymore?
I don't know, man. Like, yeah, what? It's hard not to be, dude. It's hard.
You picture every third party out there and how just fucking lame they've been and how they just.
Dude, it's too late for that. I gave up on third parties 10 years ago. It's too late.
But I'm like, could we make a new one that kind of fits where people's minds are of today? You know, not that I want to do that, but maybe there's
the establishment's too strong.
Yeah, it's done. We're done. We're done for. Just get ready for the end.
People are in line. People want their turn. And that's all that matters.
Yeah. The line is long. But, you know, Biden's been in line for a long time.
So get in line.
I don't know why you got to get personal.
I love how
no one was naming names here.
Conservatives are throwing it back at the liberals as if their rhetoric caused somebody to.
Oh my God! Well, everything they do is hypocritical.
Fucking
right?
Liberals, like, dude.
Obviously. All right. Well, get ready for the end, and we're going to continue conversation in some way with our friend Sevan. Sevan, what's the future of the Mars movie? Like, how do people start watching that?
We're hoping that Mars gets picked up for a couple more festivals, so we can show it around and have premieres in different cities, and then hopefully it gets some distribution and it has a wider release, but I'm not sure yet. We just had the New York release and we're waiting to hear back from a bunch of other festivals right now. So
cool. So
in every city, hopefully.
How would one Google that? Because it's just called Mars. I guess just Whitest Kids Mars.
Yeah. WKUK Mars. Google my name and Mars. You'll find it.
Well, I wouldn't recommend that because then they're going to have to learn how to spell your name.
SevanMars. Sevan from Mars.
Oh, just Sevan. Okay. Yeah.
Well, you don't need my last name. You'll find all my other stuff, my insane IMDb page.
It's just insane?
It's stupid. It's like all Channel 101 stuff.
Oh, dude,
I just got IMDb Pro and I sorted it so all my professional stuff is up front.
I did that too. That's like it's worth paying for. Yeah, it is worth be in charge of what people see right away.
Yeah.
Fuck.
Dude, it doesn't matter, you guys. None of this matters. We're all going to be digging in the dirt and fighting with spears.
Well, I did meet someone recently and they're like, I IMDb'd you and I saw that you do a lot of set dressing. I'm like, that's what made me pay for it. I'm like, I don't want to do that.
I'm going to get rid of all my non-director credits. No, I'm not going to.
Well, thanks everyone for listening. Go to patreon.com/reallifesci-fi if you want to continue listening to us talk about who knows what. With Sevan, it's always a fun, kind of more educated than what we usually do. It's normally some fucking morons that we have on. So who knows what we'll talk about, but I'm sure it'll be fun. And remember that just because you're paranoid doesn't mean they're not after you. We'll see you next time.
Bye.